CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Simon Wright, the industry editor for The Economist magazine. He's in London, observing the explosion of electric vehicle makers around the world. Tesla is the one that comes to everybody's mind. But the rivalry now suggests a period of growth that reminds me of the pre-war, pre-Great War, pre-First World War explosion of car makers in America, especially everybody who had a barn in Wisconsin, and also that period in the 1980s when all these companies who made other brands, other kinds of things, such as vacuum cleaners or coffee makers or electronics in general, all tried their hand at PC to rival IBM. We now know, we can smile, that that was then, this is Apple. However, we begin with Tesla and ask, what rivals and how are they organizing themselves? Simon, a very good day to you. We go first to China. The market seems to favor China because it has this enormous market. What should we watch there for a rival with Tesla, given the scale of its valuation? And who is leading in China? Good day to you.
Hello there. Well, look, there are almost literally hundreds of EV makers in China popping up all over the place. China, as you say, is an enormous market. Not only that, it has consumers who are really interested in the latest technology and the government very supportive of EVs. But a lot of these EV makers, just like those car makers who didn't make it from the pre-war US, won't make it out of China and probably won't make it as going concerns. But there are a few that we really should look at. There are three, for example, that are listed in New York, NIO, XPeng, and Li, who are already making EVs in their sort of tens of thousands. So they're certainly companies we look at. There are other ones, iWays, WM, who are also sort of starting production. And, you know, there are also plenty looking for funding with fancy sort of spreadsheets and marketing documents and not much else. So there's a lot of activity in China.
Yes, and the activity is hard to see, which is why I've come to you, Simon. You quote Patrick von Hertz of Lincoln International, an investment bank, saying that we can expect the market to grow to 300 EV firms. So the challenge here is, how are they organized? Is it regional? We started in China. Is it industry already established? How do they shake out right now, looking at Tesla as the leader? Everybody wants, I guess, to be number two. What should we look for, Simon?
Well, look, I mean, already the Chinese car makers who were making cars with internal combustion engines are making a lot of EVs as well. Something like BYD, for example, is making, you know, hundreds of thousands of electric cars a year, I think, by now. So, but what we should be looking for is companies that are already making cars. I mean, I think, as I said, the three that are already in production. Because if you want to get into this new EV space, you've got to find yourself a niche. If you look at Tesla, that's exactly what it did. All EVs weren't new. Tesla didn't invent the EV. But what Tesla did was realized that you should put a battery in a big saloon car, not a small city car, so you can absorb the high costs. So they created this niche of the big saloon car. Now, if you look at the Chinese car makers and some of the other new EV firms around the world, they're also looking at that niche, that sort of large saloon car or SUV, premium models, really quite expensive. But what I would worry about there is that's getting quite a crowded niche because the big car makers are piling in. You know, the Germans have all got their big plans. The Ford F-150, that's, you know, a big electric vehicle that sort of comes in at that kind of price point. There's a lot of competition in that part of the market. So I think that's one thing you would be sort of wary of when looking at these new firms, because finding the right niche is important. China's a good niche, maybe not the big premium EVs.
The Tesla rap for years was, we're not a car maker, we're a software company, software engineering. Is that something that's emphasized to investors to look inside, not only the hood, but to look inside the electronics that drive the hood?
I think that's exactly right. All of these new breed of EV firms, I think, consider themselves as tech firms first and car makers second. And I think that gives them an advantage, certainly over the established car makers. Established car makers, you know, are working hard on this transition from, you know, being mechanical engineers who make internal combustion engines, to make this thing, which is a car, which is essentially, going to become a sort of piece of consumer electronics. If you're starting with the software first, that's going to be a sort of a big advantage, because everything is going to be built around that software in the future. And I think established car makers are trying to catch up very hard, as hard as they can, but it's very, very difficult for them. Whereas this new breed are starting with that in mind. So I think that gives them an advantage in that respect.
There's this other concern, Simon, that I carry with me from the combustion engine years, because General Motors and Ford and Chrysler all went through a bad patch at the turn of the century, and they're still struggling to present themselves to the American consumer as quality. Having to do with the making of the car has to do with the skill set of the craftspeople that make it. Is that a challenge for electric vehicle companies? Because the consumer can be very fussy about the gap. You know, when you close the boot or the hood, the gap on one side has to be equal to the gap on the other. Consumers can be fussy about that. Do you hear electric vehicle makers get fussy about the finish of the automobile?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think the wider point there is, how do you produce these cars? Because it's all very well being a software firm and saying we're a software firm, but, you know, you've also got to assemble lots of cars to the exacting tolerance required. You know, manufacturing is no trivial matter. It's actually really quite hard to build a car. You know, there's lots of parts, and they've all got to fit together very neatly. What I would say about the quality issue, though, is if you look at Tesla, I mean, some of the early Teslas, even to this day, the quality of the build, the sort of panel gaps, perhaps not up there with the Germans, you know, but the sort of people who are buying Teslas, they're buying them for the technology, not for the panel gaps. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that in the future.
I want to know what branding means for electric vehicles. You say at the end that the challenge for all of them, no matter whether they exist now or exist in the future, is branding. What does that mean? And help me, you're in the UK, so how would branding be successful in the UK for an electric vehicle, Simon?
Well, that's a good question. Look, I mean, I think branding is the same the world over. I mean, what does a brand mean? It means something you can trust. Something you know that's, you know, going to do exactly what it says it's going to do. Something that won't let you down. Now, the established German premium car brands are out there. You know, people trust them. Even, you know, GM and Ford, they're sort of trustworthy. Even in the UK, you know, Jaguar is a trustworthy brand. But if you look at a car company you've never heard of, can you be sure that that's going to produce a car that's, you know, safe and reliable? And more importantly, if it goes wrong, will they be able to fix it? Servicing is extremely important when you buy a car. You want to know that if anything goes wrong, it will be fixed. And building a service network is almost as difficult as, you know, building large-scale manufacturing. So these companies have to find a way to sort of convince people that they will be able to keep your car on the road if you buy one for them.
And dealerships, also we have to mention, they'll be ponying on the backs of other dealerships. The one I chose out of China that might have a chance here in America is Geely, because they have Volvo, and they're making what you report is a Zeekr, a premium electric marquee called Zeekr. Now, Zeekr has dealerships because Volvo dealerships are already in America.
That's absolutely right. Look, Geely is an established car maker, and they're making a lot of cars in China with internal combustion engines. The majority of Volvos at the moment have internal combustion engines, but they're all moving over to electric. If you look at Lynk & Co, which is another Geely brand, but it's another one of their electric brands, it's going to sell cars on subscription. So it's, you know, all these sort of the new elements that are coming to carmaker. Geely is going to hitch a ride on Volvo's dealership network. So it's exactly right. If you've got an established dealership network, that's going to be very, very useful, I think.
Timeline, Simon. We have 30 seconds here. What's a timeline for to see these cars overwhelm the market? 5 years, 10 years, or is it upon us already?
If you mean electric cars,
I
think in 5 years' time, there'll be, you know, it'll be very likely that you'll be considering buying an electric car. Maybe not in America, it might take a little longer there, but certainly in Europe, I think we'll see almost half of sales of EVs or electrified cars in 5 years' time.
Simon Wright is the industry editor for The Economist magazine. He's in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.